Welcome back, everybody. It's another Hoops HD Championship Week video notebook, day number 5, Stalika?
Oh, yeah, according to John Stalika, yes.
According to John Stalika, it's day 5, maybe day 6, maybe day 8, who knows. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by the puppet David Griggs, Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org, and John Stalika, all with us tonight, as we have a lot to get to. It was an unbelievable day today in college basketball, both in conference tournament games as well as in the regular season that finished up in, I believe we had 13 conferences finish up today, 2 more. The American and the Big Ten will be finishing up tomorrow. But I guess we got to figure out where to get started here. David, I guess I really need to do is start with you.
Yeah.
Because I think we need another report from you. How are things down there in Frisco, Texas, in the bracket bunker?
Well, it's. I mean, there's a lot of noise out there. It sounds like they're getting set up for something. I can't really tell.
I meant puppet bunker. Yeah.
Well, I keep banging on the wall for somebody to let me out, and no one ever does. In fact, I heard somebody said, "No." They said to just keep him in there.
Well, that's kind of what the plan was. But there, David is in the Conference USA tournament in the puppet bunker. But let's get right into what happened today. And before we get into conference tournaments, we'll go through a handful of conferences here that finished up the regular season today, because there was a lot of great games. And I think the three of you all know where we're going to be starting tonight's show. In the Big Ten, with the game of the century, the game of the millennia. Yes, Rutgers goes to Purdue, picks up a road win, now has 2 true road wins. David, 11-9, we finish in regular season play in the conference. Are the Scarlet Knights dancing?
Yeah, especially if they get any sort of a win in the conference tournament. This game was perhaps the most – I mean, the buildup to it was you felt like it was going to make the difference for both teams as to whether or not they got in. I mean, it was – you don't want to say it was a virtual play-in game because there's so many moving parts, but it had that feel that both teams – really, really, really needed it. And it was close all the way through. It went in overtime. It seesawed back and forth. It was probably the highest stakes game of the day, regular season game. I mean, you know, conference tournaments aside, because of how much it meant to not just one team, but both teams.
Well, let me ask let me ask our bracket expert, Rocco. Is Rutgers as close to being a lock as you can at this point now?
They're as close as they can be for only having 2 wins away from home. Obviously, a lot of great wins at the rack. And now they've got a really respectable top 40. You know, I think they were 31-32 in the net coming into today. So Purdue's still going to be top 40 even after the loss. I got a good feeling about Rutgers. I think they could do themselves an additional favor by winning at least one in Indy. Because then we would say, okay, they've got 3 away from home. And now we've got a lot of other teams to compare them to. Right now, they would, if it ended like this and they lost their first game, they're going to be, you know, banking on something that happened in 1994 being the only other time it happened. So that could create a lot of debate in the committee room. You kind of don't want to put yourself in that position. But it was a huge, huge win, of course. And I'd argue with David, it was a win-or-go-home situation for Purdue all the way across the board. They are not getting in with 16 losses, so they have to win out in Indy at this point.
Now, it's worth noting, as far as Rutgers goes, they would be facing Michigan if the season ended today in an 8-9 matchup.
Well, we'll know for certain what the matchups are tomorrow. There's still a little bit of play there, but what I want to throw out there is, Rocco, yes, I know only one team has ever gotten in with only 2 wins away from home. I'll also throw out there that I don't think any team has ever had only 2 wins away from home that has the collection of home wins that this Rutgers team has ever. So this is almost historic what this Rutgers team did this year.
It was. And you know what? They're good enough to be in.
They really are.
Yeah, so I think the committee at the end of the day will do the right thing based on what we know right now. So I certainly have them in.
Okay, at the rate we're going to be about a 3-hour show, so we do need to move it here. Real quick,
it's the
though.
Game of the year.
Indiana loses a home game to Wisconsin, a game they had almost had won in the Big Ten here, which caused Archie Miller to kind of go off on his press conference about bracketologists, and it was kind of entertaining, comparing, I think, Joe Lenardi to Sesame Street. Check it out on Twitter if you can find it. And Penn State suffers a strange upset loss to Northwestern, a Penn State team that's kind of been reeling lately, quite honestly.
Yeah, they have been. I mean, this is a team that we thought was a protected seed, not looking like it recently. How about Whiskey, though, clinching at least a share of first place with that win? And this is a team that's on fire right now.
Yeah. Real quick, in the ACC, only a couple of games of note, but the obviously the big one was the Virginia-Louisville game. Virginia does pick up the huge home win over Louisville. Duke beats North Carolina. Who cares? It's no surprise. Florida State ends up being the one seed and ends up clinching outright first place in the ACC.
First time ever, I think. So congratulations to Hamilton and the Noles. And I don't know how the 2, 3, and 4 tiebreakers work. Have you worked that out, Chad, or is there still games?
No, the bracket is out. It ended up being that Virginia was 2, Louisville was 3. I'm sorry, Duke ended up being number 4 overall seed in the conference. So
unbelievable, Virginia.
And Georgia Tech, the 5 seed. Oh wait, never mind.
Wow.
But what kind of a? I mean, Tony Bennett has a down year. And it's and he finishes second somehow. Remarkable.
And Rocco, the even the crazier thing here, with all the tiebreakers, North Carolina lost them all. They are the last place team, the number 14 seed in this conference. Did you ever think you would say North Carolina was the number 14 seed in the ACC tournament?
No, definitely not. And if I had just came out of jail like at the start of the week and watched them blow out Syracuse and hang with Duke today, I just think it was another North Carolina year. Crazy. It's crazy. I think they're still dangerous.
They are. And how much fun is NC State the 6?
NC State would be the 5, actually.
Okay.
Georgia Tech, yeah. And Syracuse did themselves no favor if they were still in the bubble with the loss to Miami today also. So,
yeah.
Bad week quick, for them.
Now over to the – let's jump over to the SEC where we saw, South Carolina go ahead and take their name off the bubble consideration by losing to Vanderbilt. Mississippi State, they're still out there. They did what they needed to do. Arkansas – took their name off consideration. Alabama,
who wasn't on,
took their name off consideration.
Tennessee
kind of probably took their name off consideration. I guess though, let's talk about Kentucky, Florida though. That was a pretty good game, Rocco.
Yeah, honestly, I saw Florida was up big most of the way, and I think it was at the same time as a bunch of other games. I didn't even see the ending, and when I saw the score, I was pretty stunned. So this one's archived to watch the highlights for tomorrow morning. But, wow.
Yeah, great comeback by Kentucky, who remains red hot heading into the tournament.
It really was. Kentucky having a very interesting week. They played 4 halves of basketball. They had a 17-point lead on Tennessee at home and blew it. They continued to just play abysmally bad, fell behind by 18 on the road to Florida, and then came back and won it. So out of those 2 games, one of those games, the first and last half, were very damn good.
Over in the Big East on Monday, we were talking about Seton Hall having a 2-game lead in the conference for first place. Well, guess what? Creighton is your number one seed in the Big East tournament as the Hall loses to Villanova. Loses to Creighton today. 3-way tie. Creighton gets the one seed in the conference tournament. And Stalika, I got to go to you because your Xavier Musketeers suffered a heartbreaker against Butler tonight.
Yeah, this would be the Kamar Baldwin show right here, where he had kind of a quiet 11 points in the first half, but suddenly exploded with 36 points in the second half, including a game-winning 3 after Najee Marshall hit what appeared to be a go-ahead shot with 9 seconds to go and subsequent free throw on a 3-point play. But Butler, not wasting any time, not using any timeouts, they immediately inbound to Baldwin, and they set a high screen, and he hits a game-winning 3 from the right side of the key. So give credit to Butler for pulling out what appeared to be their own tailspin. And Xavier now in a position where they absolutely must beat DePaul to stay in contention and really need to beat Villanova in the Big East tournament come Thursday to get their ticket punched.
Yeah, look at these two profiles here, Rocco. Xavier and Marquette now. Marquette also suffering a loss today to to the Johnnies, to St. John's. Yeah. And you know, what do you, are these two teams in, out, or is it, they really both need a couple, what are, a win or two in the Big East tournament?
I think Marquette's going to be safe because I think that Xavier loss tonight actually put Marquette in the sixth spot. So the worst they can do is it, who's the three seed? Is it Seton Hall or Villanova?
It's the Hall.
It's the Hall. So yeah, a loss to Seton Hall isn't going to hurt them bad enough to put them right on the bubble. I think they're going to barely survive. Xavier, I think, is maybe just a little bit lower than Marquette on the list. As long as they get a win over DePaul, I think they're safe. If they don't beat DePaul, they're probably safe, but if all hell breaks loose, they might be in trouble.
If you saw how DePaul played tonight, I don't think beating the Blue Demons is going to be a problem for Xavier, but beating Villanova is going to be another chore.
Yeah,
so DePaul beat Marquette earlier this week. So
how much fun is this tournament going to be?
This is going to be a great Big East tournament. We were talking about it a few days here. You know, you've got seven teams that are looking at like NCAA tournament bids, and three teams that are looking like two seeds. So, and then Providence is hotter than anybody in the entire rest of the conference.
Yeah, they, think of one team that's even hotter than Providence right now that we'll get into in a couple days.
Who's hotter than Providence?
The Johnnies.
I don't think we have to worry about that. But Big 12 today, we saw Baylor go down to at West Virginia, and we were just talking about, you know, how Baylor had been struggling a little bit. West Virginia just bounced back, finally getting that road win at Iowa State. But this game shocked me, David. Absolutely shocked me that Virginia, West Virginia won this game. I just didn't think that they were playing that well lately.
Right, and you know, credit to West Virginia, but you have to kind of look at Baylor here. They've petered out a little bit, losing. Is it two of their last three now? Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, and not that West Virginia is a bad team. It's really hard to win there. But, I mean, for them to lose two out of three, they're just not hitting on all cylinders. They don't look like the team that went to Kansas and won and Texas Tech and won and was really kind of blowing through this conference. And even, you know, going back to the Kansas loss, while they lost at home, and they were right with them in the final minute of the game, had a chance to win it. You kind of wonder if they're sleepwalking a little bit. I don't think it knocked them off the one line per se, but if they,
well, let me ask this question though. If they lose to Kansas in the Big 12 finals, that's one thing. What if they get upset in the quarterfinals of the Big 12 by a Kansas State or something like that? Is the one line suddenly in jeopardy for the Bears?
I would have to think so. I mean, Rocco's the one that guesses the committee, but like as we do the mock committee, you would have to look at a team that's lost three out of four to teams that are two of those losses to teams that aren't even in the field. One seeds do not lose games. Well, they don't lose to anybody, period, typically, but they certainly don't lose games to teams that aren't in the field. I mean, in any given year, you can count on one hand the number of losses they have to teams that aren't in the field, and this would be their second one. It would be their third loss in four games and their second loss to a team that isn't making it. Yeah, I think that puts it in jeopardy. Well, am I wrong?
No, I agree with you. That's why I was throwing it out there. But just real quick, Oklahoma was getting trounced by TCU tonight, made an amazing comeback to steal that game and keep their tournament hopes alive. But, Rocco, I want to bring up two other teams here. Mm-hmm. Texas – at home, got crushed by Oklahoma State, while Texas Tech lost a heartbreaker to KU. And where are both these teams in terms of tournament bids now?
I think Texas, I wasn't feeling great about Texas despite their recent winning streak. I know they beat a couple tournament caliber teams to get back into the picture and on the good side of the bubble. I did have them in my last four in, but I honestly didn't feel good about it because I think they were still four games under 500 against the top two quadrants, and now they take a bad loss just to kind of show how shaky they are. I certainly had them out after today. And then Texas Tech, I mean, it's a really tough one because their net is strong. Their metrics are really good. They take one seeds to the buzzer, like Baylor they went to overtime with on Monday. They took Kansas to the wire at Kansas. But they're still – their record is 7-13 against the top two quadrants. It's a really tough one. I think right now they would probably land in Dayton. But, man, they're kind of playing with fire.
Well, this is the 4-5 game of the Big 12 tournament right here, Texas versus Texas Tech. So,
wow, I didn't realize that. That's going to be
the other thing, Rocco, yeah, they are 7-13, but you have to keep in mind five of those games are against teams on the top two lines.
Correct.
So, I mean, let's give them a little bit of leeway there.
Yeah, but well, I still think the Red Raiders need to beat Texas, need to win this 4-5 game, which will do two things. One, I think it'll be the end of the Longhorns. And two, I think it will put the Red Raiders in. If it goes the reverse, I don't know. The very least, Texas Tech will be sweating really bad come Selection Sunday.
Or at least contacting their travel agents for reservations in Dayton.
There's a nice Marriott across the street.
Yeah, there is.
We're actually recording this a little after 12:30 a.m. here on now on Sunday, March 8th. So Stanford-Oregon game is still going on, although Oregon is up big. But the Pac-12 had the USC-UCLA game, which did not have much scoring in it, especially the first half. But an amazing finish with USC pulling out the buzzer-beating win, David.
Yeah, it was a big one. I mean, it was a rivalry game with a lot of stakes. USC probably not needing it quite as bad as UCLA, but still really needing it. I still feel pretty good about the Bruins, if for no other reason, they're still playing. They're going to get chances to pick up another win or two, or even, you know, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that they even win the Pac-12, but I would expect them to pick up a couple more wins. I think at the end of the day, both these teams find a way in, but this one was big. It would have meant a lot to UCLA to pick this one up on the road. I think that it would have virtually come very close to locking them in had they won it.
Rocco, I got to ask you, is the team that's number 62 in the net and the number 12 seed in the Pac-12 tournament that suddenly the hottest team in the conference?
I could probably only remember three times in my lifetime that the Huskies have gotten a sweep in the desert. And who would have thought it was this year? This year was going to be one of those two or three times. And in the same year where they got swept by Wazoo. I mean, unbelievable. But you know what the Huskies did a lot differently this week than they had done all year long is they just played loose and they played together and they didn't fall apart in the last 5 minutes. They just played like they didn't care. And that's what they got to do next week. They're dangerous because there's so much talent on the team.
And another note here, Colorado, another head scratcher loss to Utah. I mean, the Buffs are going to be in the tournament, but I have no faith in them to do anything much there.
I agree, Chad. Yeah. What has happened to the Buffs? Jeez,
it's surprising. They got a veteran team. I'm the least teams I expected this to happen to.
Yeah.
John, real quick here, two other conferences I want to mention real quick. They finished up regular seasons. Or one of them did, at least. The Atlantic 10, the three teams we've been tracking for potential at-large bids, maybe four if we want to throw St. Louis in. I don't really think I want to. But Dayton and Rhode Island at least both won. Richmond won last night. Rhodey kind of sweated out their game, didn't they?
Oh, they were sweating bullets here because UMass had taken the lead with about 10 seconds to go, but Rhode Island gets fouled on a potential game-winning shot, and Fats Russell hits a pair of free throws with 2 seconds left to keep Rhode Island at the table for the time being.
The problem we have with Rhode Island is they are
bad.
They would have definitely been out with a loss tonight.
Yeah, but they're the three seed now. They're the three seed now, which means they could beat Richmond and lose in the A-10 final, but I don't think that's enough to get them in.
Agreed.
I'm still looking almost a little bit more. I'm liking St. Louis more than them because St. Louis could beat Dayton and lose in the A-10 final.
Arch Baron.
Yeah. and St. Louis is playing really, really tough. Yeah. You know, they're playing really well the last couple of weeks. Look what they did this week.
And keep in mind, St. Louis should have had a win against Dayton back in January, if not for a game-winning three by Jalen Crutcher.
Yeah.
Also, if Richmond makes the A-10 final, I think there's a very strong case for them.
They got a good profile.
I'm in with the Spiders. Yeah, 10 wins away from home.
That's pretty impressive.
All right. American did not quite finish up. There's a couple of games coming up tomorrow, but there was an amazing game, David, today between Cincinnati and Temple. Temple had this game the entire way.
Ugly first half, exciting second half, and very exciting finish with Cincinnati again. Another game coming down to the last possession. They haven't won them all, but they've won most of them. And a loss would have really sort of broken their backs, I think. But they still got a chance.
And if anybody thought SMU was on the bubble, which I don't think they did, they lost a heartbreaker on the buzzer against South Florida today as well. So they're done. But let's move to the games that were – all those were some incredible games we already discussed. We get even better than that because now we go into conference tournament play today. Yeah. And the Mountain West Tournament Championship game, what an amazing game this was. And Utah State, Sam Merrill just completely went off and got the buzzer beater to win the game. And San Diego State goes down. Utah State is, David, as it says there, the ConExpo ConAgg 2020 champions.
Yeah. So, I mean, congrats to Utah State, really pulling it together in this tournament, sweating out New Mexico and Wyoming, like real powerhouses there.
They won it.
But then showing up in a big way today. I didn't watch every Utah State game this year, but out of the games that I watched, I never saw him play this well, not even close.
Yeah,
no, good. I'm legitimately okay. This isn't just the team that won the auto bid. This is a tournament caliber team.
Well, Rocco, let me ask you two quick questions now. Utah State, what type of line are they looking at in the NCAA tournament now that they're in? And San Diego State, do they fall off the one line?
So I think Utah State, their worst case scenario is going to be an 11 because they now have a win over San Diego State on neutral court on the resume, and that just kind of bolsters up everything they needed all year. So that should get them at least on par with the first four, but I think they can get above it up to a 10. We'll see how some of the other bubble teams go around them. San Diego State, I don't think this is a bad loss. They lost, as David said, I completely agree with what David said about Utah State being a tournament caliber team. So I think for the Aztecs, they just got to wait and see. The only scenario where I see them not getting on the one is perhaps if Florida State runs the table in the ACC with a win over Duke in the semis and a win over Louisville in the final. I think that might be enough juice to get Florida State the number one in the East. So I think that's what it's going to come down to, but we'll see.
Well, but likewise, if Dayton gets the double, that would also be a factor.
Yeah, Dayton. Yeah, I just don't think Dayton's resume is going to get them there because San Diego State's got the Creighton win by 30, they got the Iowa win, and they got the BYU road win. I just don't think Dayton's going to get above that.
Yeah, and we shouldn't forget, I know the committee doesn't always look at it this way, but I do for our Mont committee. They beat Utah State twice. All winning today would have done was repeat something they've already done twice, and losing, I mean, do you really hold it against them? They beat them twice.
The bigger story, though, David, is that there are teams of Florida State that might be able to catch them. Maybe your Big East tournament champion also it should be in play here. You know, if it's a Creighton or
I don't see Providence getting up to the one line.
But John, this also was Championship Day in the Ohio Valley Conference, which, while not playing for a one seed, was another amazing finish. Murray State had – Belmont had lost the championship a couple of years in a row. Came out a little bit different this year, but it was right down to the buzzer.
Well, it had been 5 years since Belmont had won the OVC title, but they ran a perfect backdoor cut in order to take the lead with about 5 seconds to go, and Murray State unable to hit a game winner here. So definitely a little bit of revenge for the Bruins here.
Yeah, this was just this was an amazingly fun game. And I don't know, David, it seems like every year the OVC championship game is just a great game. Yeah, it is.
It was a great atmosphere today. You know, the arena, I don't think it was sold out, but it was very close to full. And as long as Murray State and Belmont advance to the championship game, it's always going to be a good game with a good crowd.
And I think it's worth noting this was really a majority Murray State crowd here because they're not that far from Evansville.
No, not like an hour or so. But, yeah, congrats to Belmont. Casey Alexander had a really good team last year. Actually, they didn't get into the tournament, but that team was really good, Lipscomb. They were a tournament-caliber team, just didn't have the resume. Did they get to the finals of the NIT, or was it just
It was a championship game. They lost to Texas.
So Casey Alexander, a really good coach. I don't know if he'll be a Hall of Famer like Rick Byrd, but he has certainly done well in his first year at Belmont, and I think they're going to continue to win at the level that they have been winning at under him.
I agree with you. It was semifinal day in several conferences. Rocco, let's start with the Missouri Valley Conference, which was upset Central on Friday, and it kept going at least in the later game with Valpo suddenly making their first noise ever in this conference since they've been in the Valley. And here they are in the championship game against your defending champions, Bradley. And two teams we did not discuss all season when we were discussing the Valley, but here we are, Bradley and Valpo playing for the bid.
I'm a little bummed I missed the first couple nights of championship week videos because Bradley was my pick at the start of the tournament in the Jerome. So we'll see if they can finish the job. But I mean, I did not expect them to play Drake today. I just thought they were going to use that experience and get by Northern Iowa today. It didn't end up working out to be that difficult. But for Valpo, wow, 3 wins in 3 days. The game against Loyola Chicago was unbelievable. They rode the momentum, and today they were down most of the game. So they're just on one of those streaks. You can get hot. You know, you got a bunch of 18 to 22-year-old kids that just wake up and want to play basketball, and they don't want their season to end. This is Valpo. So we're going to see a pretty awesome game tomorrow.
I think we are, and I think that this is a game that, could come right down to the end here. I'm going to go with Bradley to win it. John, do you think you're with me and I guess with Rocco also on that?
I mean, it's weird to say they're the defending champions, but yes, they can actually go back to back here.
Yep. David, it was semifinal day today in one of our favorite conferences, although the games did not quite live up to it. Northeast Conference, a pair of blowouts by the Western Pennsylvania schools here.
Yeah, so the the chalk still holding after a real thrilling quarterfinal round. The semis kind of a snoozer, but I am really – I think the two best teams, clearly the two best teams, are in the championship game. It should be a really, really fun game. I'm kind of looking forward to this
one. Yeah, a couple of days off before we get to that, but let's keep rolling right on over here to Rocco, to the America East Conference. And we expected a couple blowouts and a couple of close games, which is what we kind of got, but the close games were not the ones we expected to be close. Including, let's start with the Vermont-Maine game, which was way closer than an 11-point finish there.
Yeah, I think with about 7 minutes to go, the under eight timeout, it was a 3-point game.
Yeah.
And Maine was just, I mean, they're one of the slowest-paced teams in the in the country. So they've used their slow it down style to frustrate Vermont. Vermont finally erupted, I think, in the last 4 or 5 minutes. But what an effort by the Black Bears. It's funny because I actually was on a radio station in Vermont earlier this morning, and all the questions I got were just about what seed Vermont's going to get. I was like, guys, don't forget you got to win your tournament. So I was thinking about that the whole game. So pretty interesting.
David, the Stony Brook Albany game was a great game as well. Came right down to the end there, and Albany really had a chance to steal it from them.
Yeah, they did. This game, the UMBC-New Hampshire game was also a lot of fun. So day of action, really, in this conference tournament. Yep. And our friend Howie the Hawk, still alive.
Hartford had a lead, didn't completely blow him out, but had a nice lead most of that game. Chalk holds into Tuesday's semifinals, so we'll be back and talk about this again in a couple nights. Mm-hmm. John, let me go to you as we talk about the upset conference of the night, though.
This was not a conference of chalk.
This was a conference of everything but chalk. Three out of four upsets, which began with VMI actually kind of being close, hanging in there with East Tennessee State a little closer than you thought they would. ETSU gets the win, but there's always like one small VMI run away from something to get back into it. Then Western Carolina blows out Mercer. And then, as I predicted last night, and you guys laughed at me, we had double upsets in the bottom half of the bracket.
Now, here's a double-edged sword for East Tennessee State right here. Their road to winning the SoCon just got quite a bit wider with both Greensboro and Furman out of there. But Western Carolina, they're a dangerous team. They led at East Tennessee State most of the game, but were unable to complete that. But if the Catamounts pull the upset tomorrow, that's going to be big trouble for East Tennessee State.
You know, you got that, and you got a Wofford team that has been playing really well, although not picking up wins. A Chattanooga team that's suddenly red hot here as well. I don't think ETSU has this wrapped up by any means at this point.
No, they don't. I mean, they're in for two battles, really. Yeah. Especially if Wofford wins tomorrow, and I think they will. That is a war on Monday night.
Rocco, in these late games here, Wofford led pretty much the entire way against Furman. Chattanooga was down big and came back to steal that game from Greensboro.
They sure did, yeah. And Greensboro just went ice cold in that game. Wofford-Furman, I got to learn real quick when I went down there a couple weeks ago. Those are big rivals. So I know Wofford wanted to stick it to them after a rough season. So now I'm actually in it's bittersweet because I really like this Furman team. I like the Greensboro team, and the Mercer story was awesome, and they're all out now. But I also like this now because I think those of us that have followed the conference like us on the podcast tonight, we know that this has been a really tough league 1-7. And yeah. So the fact that 5, 6, 7 are still alive, it really kind of proves that point.
Well, David, what do you see happening tomorrow here in these two semifinals?
I think Wofford wins, but I'm going to pick East Tennessee State, but I agree with what Stalika said. That tomorrow is a war. This won't be easy. ETSU, while they've been the best team in the league, they haven't always looked it. They've not always played up to their ceiling. They've struggled to win a lot of games. They're going to struggle to win tomorrow.
Yeah, and I think this will be an interesting ETSU question when they lose to Wofford Monday night in the championship game as well.
Yeah.
Let's jump over, John, over to the Summit League, where we had two out of the four quarterfinals. These were the one seed and the two seed, so these are the two games that you're just supposed to see the blowouts in and the better games tomorrow night, and that's not quite what happened, though.
No, we had both North Dakota State and South Dakota State walking the tightrope here. North Dakota State was able to survive it with a game winner with about 5 seconds remaining, but South Dakota State, they fell off the rope into the Missouri River, and now we'll just have to see whatever postseason awaits them.
Yeah, the Leathernecks did not make the tournament, but their spirit was there.
We have seen a lot of early round, a lot of quarterfinal upsets in this conference. It happened again today. It almost happened in both games today. Rocco, tomorrow is the other two quarterfinal games, Oral Roberts Omaha and South Dakota North Dakota. Anything to look forward to in those games?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to see how South Dakota shows up. You know, they hit a couple they threw a couple duds up there during February, and I'm a little disappointed because they were my preseason pick. So I am expecting them to rally in this tournament, and now the path is there for them to get to the final, theoretically. So we'll see how they show up. And then I do think this Oral Roberts team is a little bit more talented than Omaha, but they don't always live up to their talent. So that's going to be a pretty interesting game as well.
We had our good friend John Titel on location at the Colonial Athletic Association first round games today, yep. Which included a Drexel game win over UNC Wilmington, and in a game where James Madison jumped on, I believe, like a 17 or 18-0 lead on Elon, and Elon held one lead for the entire game, David, and it came with 3 seconds left in the game.
Yeah, just a crazy, really entertaining game. You know, like you said, JMU jumping way out early, and then Elon chipping away and chipping away and chipping away, and I think they trailed for 39 minutes and 56 seconds, but they won.
Yeah. Drexel, the other winner today, and John, what do you think about these four quarterfinals tomorrow? Hofstra, Drexel, Charleston, Delaware, Elon against Bill and Mary, Towson against Northeastern.
Well, the one team that might be sweating a little bit is going to be Towson, but I think both Bill and Mary and Towson are going to win their quarters and Hofstra, and I would probably say Charleston should be able to advance.
Rocco, I kind of like Northeastern, don't you?
No? Well, they just played each other in the last game of the regular season, and it was a Towson squeaked it out by three. I'm expecting a real good battle because you know Bill Cohen's a great coach, and they're not going to show up and get blown out. So I think that's going to be a battle. You know, Bill and Mary was struggling down the stretch. This Elon team's got nothing to lose. Marcus Sheffield's a Stanford transfer, hit the game winner, really good player. Anything could happen in that game. I think, obviously, a 4 or 5 games, anything could happen. And then, you know, Drexel came in really ice cold, but getting him back on the winning track today might get them some momentum for Hofstra. So I think all these quarters are going to be.
Yeah, I'm rarely this excited about an under the radar tournament this early, but all four of these are going to be fun.
Yeah, and I mean, if you think back to the preseason, we could not decide on a champion. I think there was like 6 teams that different pundits had as number one. So here we are; it's a free for all.
Let's take a moment here and take a look way down there and find the opening round of the Sun Belt Tournament. Oh, there it is on the far end of the. But Dave, this was actually a pair of really fun games today with Louisiana and Coastal Carolina picking up wins.
Coastal Carolina hitting the shot, I think, if not at the buzzer, right before the buzzer.
In front of tens of fans at Arlington. Yes.
Yeah. Well, the tens of fans that were there saw a good game, and unfortunately, I guess for them, they saw a heartbreaker. But, yeah, both these games pretty fun. We resume on Monday, I think, again at campus sites. So,
yep. Yeah. The first three rounds will all be on campus sites here. So we'll talk a little bit more, preview of those next round games tomorrow night. But
you had some big Sun Belt news today, Chad. I was quite excited.
The Sun Belt did announce, it wasn't a couple days ago, but they did announce that they've signed a contract to move the conference tournament to Pensacola, Florida, starting next year. They're going to go back to a standard bracket with all 12 teams participating. And among one of our favorite things, kind of like CUSA does as well, where you're down there in Frisco, David, they will be playing multiple games in multiple buildings in Pensacola at the same time. So we may get that old Sun Belt split
screen. It isn't quite the curtain where you can buy a ticket and just walk around the arena and the concourse. From between games, but no,
it's two different buildings.
Two different buildings.
Serious question: is one of those sites actually going to be where they hold the Emerald Coast Classic during Feast Week?
I believe it is. Yes.
Oh my God, that place is tiny.
I believe that is the secondary site. One of the buildings is a building that's going through some renovations, but that's next year. Let's get back to this year. As we mentioned, we're recording this before everything has gone final tonight, which means that the late West Coast Conference game between St. Mary's and Pepperdine is going on right now. So for those of you that want to know what happened in that game, go find a scoreboard when you watch the show in the morning.
Right now, Pepperdine does have the lead. It is the 1-2, the sixth game of the tournament. None of the previous five have been entertaining at all.
Yeah. San Francisco just kind of pounded Pacific in a mild upset, I guess. Yeah. Rocco, anything else we got to say about this event at this point, or we'll just talk about it again tomorrow night when we preview the semis?
A couple quick Don's comments. You know, Pacific came into San Francisco a few weeks ago and beat them by 12. That was a big wake-up call. San Francisco's certainly playing a lot better since. And they get round three with Gonzaga. The last two have been really good games, at least for the first half. I think San Francisco led at halftime in both of them. So hopefully we get another battle on Monday.
Yeah. And again, we'll have either St. Mary's or Pepperdine against BYU. We'll talk about that a little bit tomorrow night. But that's it for what was played today. I do want to preview three other conferences, though. Let's actually start with the conference in the semifinals tomorrow, in the Patriot League semifinals on campus sites. The bottom game is the first game. Bucknell's at BU up on the roof, and then Lafayette at Colgate. John, what are you looking forward to in these two games?
Well, you're looking at a team like Bucknell, who's usually been pretty successful as far as the Patriot League tournament goes. They've already pulled one surprise at American. Wouldn't shock me to see them go on the roof tomorrow and get the win. But Colgate, I think, is another team that's going to end up sweating bullets. But I actually think a Colgate-Bucknell final is going to be in order.
I agree. No, I have nothing to add. That was I like the way Bucknell's playing, and I –
Let's not forget that Lafayette swept Colgate this year, including obviously a win at Colgate. So it's going to be really interesting.
Well, but as David mentioned earlier, because you beat a team already twice in the same season, you don't need to beat them a third time. So Lafayette just gets advanced no matter what happens, right?
Right. I mean,
one of them was a field trip day that was played in front of, I'm sure, hundreds of kids. But this will be a slightly different crowd now.
Let's move on. We have, in addition to the Missouri Valley Championship game that we discussed earlier, we have two other championship games tomorrow. First of all, in the Big South, Hampton at Winthrop. Rocco, how about this game here where Radford upset loser in the semifinals on Friday? Can they pull off the second upset and win at Winthrop?
I'm not going to put it past them. I mean, What happened in that Radford game was pretty historic. You know, they had I'm looking it up now. Jermaine Morrow is his name. He had 36 points, 10 assists.
Yeah,
I think he's the first incredible game. Yeah, and if you look at their season stats, he's one of those players that has the ability to score at will and can get on fire like he did in the semis. You know, he could certainly do that against Winthrop. And it's pretty interesting because they've had a really bad year. They're number 311 in KenPom still, so they're certainly going to Dayton if they win. But what a great story and what a fun team to watch. And Winthrop, we already know, when they're at their best, they're really tough. They beat St. Mary's. They hung with, you know, Mountain West member Fresno State. So they're going to be – if they're on, they're going to be tough to beat too. So I think it's going to be a great game.
And David, the other championship game is in the Atlantic Sun, also on campus sites. Liberty will be hosting Lipscomb in a rematch of what's been the top two teams here for the last couple of years now.
Yeah. Liberty should get this one, although they've kind of won ugly in the tournament. They've struggled against teams that are really weak, whereas Lipscomb has, you know, looked a little better. And, you know, Lipscomb beat Liberty not just, you know, over a week ago, so it'll be interesting. This game's not – I'm going to pick Liberty, but it's by no means is it a shoe-in.
John, you agree with him?
What's the old Klingon proverb? Revenge is a dish that is best served cold. I think it's going to be Lipscomb's championship to win tomorrow.
Wow. Ooh. Okay.
John going to Lipscomb, the Bisons. Rocco, how about you?
I'll stick with Liberty, but I love the way Lipscomb played against North Florida. I'm not putting them past an upset. I think it's going to be a good one.
That note, though, that does conclude all of our review and our preview, and I think it's time, David, to move on to our great moments in Championship Week video notebook history. I had that great moment last night, you know, Bobby Thompson was with Jordan.
Chad, that was absolutely ridiculous. That happened in the 1950s, Chad.
It was one of the older shows.
It happened in the summer, Chad. It wasn't even basketball season.
It was actually during the fall, so that really should be a Hoops HD season preview throwback.
Yeah. David, it's your turn. What is our great moment?
We're going to go back to – I think this is 2017. You'll know it as soon as you see it. Like, this was our first power conference moment here. You might recall, like, this is the one of the first years of the Big Ten – anyway, just roll the footage. It's so great. Yeah.
What the hell, David?
Anyway.
That's the Big Ten Conference.
That is the Big Ten Conference on the Championship Week video notebook.
I don't know what the hell that is.
That is your 16-time world champion. Show a little respect.
Let's go to our survival board. After the day yesterday, there were two this is the service we do for the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee, but there were 270 teams remaining heading into today with a chance to make the NCAA Tournament and theoretically win it all.
Yeah.
Let's start by seeing what happened as a result of today's games, okay?
Okay, let's...
And 247 under that 250
lots
number.
Lots of teams coming off today.
Just as a quick note, that by the morning, it could be at 246 should Pepperdine lose this game to St. Mary's, by the way, but 247 as of when we're recording this. Now, David, this is a service that we do for the committee, and we have teams categorized for them in various different manners here.
Yeah, and we broke ground on a new category today, like the bold in all caps. Those are the auto bids. So Belmont, you see there in the Ohio Valley, and also if you scroll down to the Mountain West. Oh, wait, you don't
right
have to.
There it is.
Did you just say the bold in the all caps? That sounds like a bad soap opera.
Yeah, bold in the all caps. But anyway, this is so the committee knows that, you know, to take those teams. It's a lot of work. You're not really sure what to do a lot of the time. If they see a team that's bold, they know to select them. If they see a team that's bold and all caps, they know that those are the auto bids. And you have to be careful, Chad. I mean, we want to emphasize, because say, like, you had put Murray State in there by mistake, I would hate to confuse the committee and for Belmont to be left out of the tournament because we made a mistake.
Yeah, and you know, we've got some other categories here. Teams that are in italics, a team like, UCLA there. UCLA, it's a team that they should be debating. That's one thing that they should be doing. However, if the committee members suddenly say, I wonder if we should give an at-large bid to, St. Peter's.
Yeah, St. Peter.
Well, they could look there and see, not in bold, not in italics, we should not be discussing them.
Right, yeah, that's right.
What if the committee suddenly said, well, should we be giving a bid to Southeast Missouri State?
Well they're not even there. They've been deleted.
They shouldn't even mention them at all then, right?
Yeah.
Okay. On that note, though, let's go ahead and pull this down. Let's run through for any final thoughts. John, let me start with you.
Well, a couple things. Number one, we do have a quick score update. Oregon did beat Stanford, so they will be the Pac-12 outright champ, and Stanford blows an opportunity to at least get above the cut line. But I also want to stay on the radar here because with Oklahoma State's win at Texas today, they become a rare Big 12, or at least a senior class. they're a rare group in the Big 12 that has now won in every single arena. Frank Irwin Center in Austin was the only place they had not won at this point. So congratulations to the Pokes.
Oh, good one. Good one. All right, Rocco.
Yeah, I'm just going to look ahead to a few matchups that we kind of touched on. First, Robert Morris is opened a new arena. I happened to be there on the first night. And now it's really cool to see in their inaugural season, they're going to get to host the NEC title game. Just wanted to give them a shout out because that's a beautiful facility and it's going to be really cool to see that on the national stage. Number two, UMBC just a couple weeks ago went into Vermont and beat them on their home court. Of course, we all know the UMBC story from 2 years ago when they did that before the bigger upset over Virginia. Let's see if it can happen a third time in the semifinals. And then the last one, ETSU ended their regular season by having to pull something out in the last minute where Patrick Good had a really clutch three. WCU had the lead the entire game, and now WCU's got a chance to knock them off again. That should be another great game between those two.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to that. I think tomorrow's going to be a ton of fun in the SoCon and in the Colonial. Those are the two conferences that I'm really looking forward to. David, do you want to finish the show up?
You know, we touched on it earlier, Dayton running the table in the Atlantic 10. I don't think a team has done that since St. Joseph's did it in 2004. Mm-hmm. Stalico could fact check me on that.
GW did it in 2006.
Oh, they did? Okay. So, yeah. Anyway, it rarely happens. This was a team that, if you go back and look, wasn't even really picked to finish. I mean, they were picked in the top half, but no one – this Dayton team basically walked out of the Ohio River. I mean, they kind of got onto the scene early out in Maui, but no one was really excited about them before that. So for a fan base that really supports this program far more than what you may realize, despite not having – a lot of history or a lot of storied success. It's kind of fun to see them playing so well on a national stage. So just congrats to the Flyers.
Yes, congrats to them. And we'll see if they can finish off the true perfect A-10 season by winning the conference tournament as well.
I don't think that's ever been done.
I know that St. Joe's team did not do that, nor did the GW team that Sleeka mentioned. But on that note, I do want to thank everybody for joining us. We'll be back again tomorrow night with another Championship Week video notebook. But on behalf of Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org, John Sleeka from Hoops HD, and David Griggs from the Puppet Bunker, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you again real soon.